So we're going to look at God's word together now. And it's our second kind of reading that we've had as part of this sort of season of Advent. And it's a real Christmassy one. This is really going to get us ready for Christmas. So if you've got your Bibles and want to follow, you can turn to the reading. It's in Isaiah 9, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 7. Isaiah 9, from verses 1 to 7. Our reading starts, I've got a little bit of background, but our reading starts with the word nevertheless. And that's suggesting that it's got to be there for a reason, isn't it? There's something gone before. Nevertheless, it's like therefore. When we read therefore, there's usually a reason it's there. So a bit of context about our reading now. Our reading starts with this word. And the reason it says nevertheless is because God was speaking to his people. And it was a particular part of his people called Judah. And they were really up against it. And basically what had happened was there was this group called the Assyrians. They were a bit of a superpower at that time in the region. And they were on the move. They've been sleepy for a long time, but suddenly they're on the move and they're going along and they're taking over places. And they are basically just occupying places. And Judah was this little place, and they were up against it. They were facing this attack from the Assyrians. And they were pretty stuffed, really, because they had this king called Uzziah. And if you remember that passage, it says, the year King Uzziah died. That's beginning. That's sort of further back. Talks about the king. Did you talk about this last week? I know you think it's Isaiah 6, but you go back further. The year King Uzziah died. Really significant, because Uzziah was a godly king. And he led his people in a godly way. So what happened was the godly king died, and they had other kings who weren't godly. So basically what you've got, this is superpower coming and they haven't got godly leadership. So they were up against it, really up against it. And you read about it in these opening chapters of Isaiah. And that's why it starts with this word, nevertheless. So they're up against it. And then it says, nevertheless. And this is what it said, there will be no more gloom, those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Let me just explain that a little bit, okay? Because you kind of need to know where they are to understand the next little phrase that is in the reading. So this were Zebulun and Naphtali were the first places to be occupied by the Assyrians. So they got hit first by this Assyrian onslaught. And both of them are in Galilee. But then it says this, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. So although these two little places were the first to fall, to know that pain of occupation longer than any other, these two places would be the first to see the glory of Emmanuel, God with us. They were the place where Christ was born. So we read on. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing their plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot is used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And then it says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness or the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And then it says this, and the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I love that. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. My oldest, Ben, had a very traumatic birth. It was very difficult. And for a whole host of reasons, my parents had come up to... actually, they'd planned to come, but he was 2 weeks late, so they weren't supposed to be there for the birth, but they'd end up being there for the birth. So they'd come up. We were living in Teesside. They were living in Cornwall, so it was a long way to come. So they'd come up. So they were just kind of almost hanging around outside the hospital as we went through this ordeal of Ben being born. It was worth it in the end, but it was jolly difficult at the time. But there was this moment that I remember after Ben had been born. Angela was just completely, completely wiped out. And my mum and dad had come to the hospital. And it was back in the days when you could have visitors in hospital. Do you remember those days? And there was this moment when I can't remember if I took him out or brought them in, but it was almost like I kind of remember taking this little baby out and introducing him to my parents for the very first time and saying, "Look, here's Ben." You know, and it was a real kind of proud, proud moment. And I think this is kind of what is happening in this passage. I mean, it's a prophetic, it's a looking ahead, but God is almost saying, "Look, a proud moment, look, this is my son. You know, this is who he is." He's presenting him to the world through the prophet. You know, we've already had the baby kind of coming, being introduced. You look back in chapter 7. Now, Hannah talked about this last week. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Then later on, you go on to chapter 11. Amazing chapter. Do take time to read it. There's this picture of this sort of age to come. What will happen when Christ has returned and that there's a new heaven and a new earth? There was this, it just describes in this beautiful poetic language the kind of like, this is what the kingdom in its fullness is what is going to look like. You know, so there's this baby coming. There's this kingdom kind of introduced, this time coming. And in the middle, we have this introducing of the child, the proud parent saying, "This, the baby, he's going to achieve this. And this is his name. He's going to make it possible." It's like when we read about Jesus' baptism, what happens? It's like God says, doesn't he, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And this is what happens here. God is saying he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It says of the greatness, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and overcome his kingdom. Sorry, and throne, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time forevermore. I love this poem that Hannah put in our little Advent boxes. You know, if you've been following it through, this beautiful little poem, and it goes like this. "Sometimes words are not enough for everything we have to share. Words can't beat like a heart, or a verb, sweat or blood. A noun doesn't get thirsty. An adjective doesn't feel pain. Something gets lost in translation into words. So when God needs to express a love deeper than words, he used a body language of a kind not known on earth before." I love that. We started with this, didn't we? The candle of love that we lit today. That's the body language of Jesus. The body language of Jesus. Now, I wish I'd had that poem, Hannah, when I did my O-levels, because I might have actually learned what a verb and an adjective and a noun and all those different things were. It would have been a great help to me, I think. This is how God puts it in John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Jump down to verse 14. It says there, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Do you see what's happening here? We're being given words to understand the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, the Son of God. But sometimes those words just don't seem enough, do they? But words is what we have. And I want us just to think for these words about these words that God offers through the prophet this morning about the incarnation, about Jesus. Just for a few moments, and then I want to invite him to come by his Holy Spirit and speak into our hearts and into our lives. I believe he's got a word for each of us this morning. Here in the room and you guys watching at home. The guy said, as he struggles to find the words that would adequately reflect that what is in his heart and what he knew God to be, he said, words that we use to point to the truth. We have words to point to the truth. God used words, as limited as they are, to speak through the prophet Isaiah, to introduce the Son, Jesus, the incarnation. And it's like he's given us his name. Yes, we know his name is Jesus and Messiah, but he says he's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I was looking at different translations and way this has been written, and I've got a few very different ones to bring that all help us understand what these words really mean and who it is we're being introduced to today. Someone has made this into a statement, and this is what they said. You know, the child is wonderful in counsel, is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One of the books I was reading translated the passage in this way. It says, an extraordinary counselor is the Warrior God. The Everlasting Father is the official for well-being. The translation here offers the passage of the passage brings a kind of military slant that's there in the original language. God is our mighty warrior. He's fighting, he's strategizing for peace and well-being, the shalom of the world. And that's what this child will do. That's what is his purpose in life is. I love this. This is a rabbi who's unpacking these verses from the Old Testament. And this is what this rabbi says. The Messiah is called by 8 names, and 5 have come from these verses. Among the Messiah's names are Wonderful, Counselor, God, Hero, and Everlasting Father of Peace. The child would be the hero of the world. Isn't that amazing? Christ, our hero. It kind of turns upside down on its head what the Marvel comics would say a hero is, doesn't it? These names declare who God is and how he will be revealed and how his purposes and promises will be fulfilled through the baby coming and the man that he grew into. I just want to read this quote. It was a quote from one of the commentaries I read about these words before we kind of start to draw to a close, because what I think is these words say it better than I can say. So just let me read it. It said, the warrior God is an extraordinary counselor or planner. That is, Yahweh is expert in determining what the future should bring, and sees that it does so. And Yahweh is capable of making plans and bringing about events that one would never have guessed. Further, the Everlasting Father is an officer who brings well-being. The Hebrew word for an officer denotes an army officer, which linked to the description as the Yahweh as the warrior God. In this context, shalom, peace, will include the idea of peace. Shalom will include the idea of peace, but the word more commonly has a broader meaning of well-being, life. As a whole going well. This prospect is what the child's name promises, Judah. This prospect is what the child's name promises us. He is our Wonderful Counselor. He's our Mighty God. He's our Everlasting Father. He's our Prince of Peace. You know, the people back then, and I think the world as a whole, had turned its back on him. They'd given up on him. And they would be living with the consequences of turning their back on God, as we so often have to ourselves. But the great thing is, this is so wonderful, that God doesn't give up on them. And he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on them, because what does he do? He sends that which is most precious to him. As an indication, it shows us how precious we are to him, does it not? So he sends his son, even though the world has turned its back on him. And he continues to send his son. His son comes, we sung it, light of the world stepped down into darkness. We continue to see the impact of Jesus coming. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, continues to change this world in which we live, as we seek and as we pray and as we obey, as we work for him and seek his influence, his rule, his reign, his power, his peace. It touches us and it touches the world in which we live in through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. So language can feel so inadequate, can't it? Sometimes, you know, you get those points where you just look and you think, I've got no words. Those times when you're speechless. But language is what we have, and language is what God has given us. So we have to use words. The prophet uses words in this reading today to introduce the Son and to show us what he's like and to show us what he wants for our world. And today, for a moment, we've just inclined our ears to him and we've listened to those words. But I want us to ask the Holy Spirit, because I don't want this to just be about my comprehension. I'm rubbish at English. Words are not my thing. But that shouldn't hold me back and hindering me having an experience, an encounter, an awareness, a relationship with the living God. So we've got these words, and I want to pray for us all today, those at home, those here in the room, that the words we have read about who this Jesus is would seek deep within us, and we would have a revelation of him, an understanding of him, an experience of him that is greater than we had when we came into this place today. And I don't think that'll be my words. I think that'll be his word, the word revealed to us by the power of his Holy Spirit. So I want us to do a few things just as we kind of finish. I want us to think. I want us to reflect. Reflect on these words. What do they mean to you? I want us to recognize. I want us to bring our hearts before the Lord. Be honest with the Lord about where our hearts are at. I want us to be ready to repent. Well, we've got it wrong and we're turning away from him and we're turning our backs on him. I want us to be ready to turn back to him and take hold of all that he has for us. I want to invite his revelation. You know, it talks about the zeal of the Lord accomplished this. That talks about God's enthusiasm, doesn't it? God wants to speak to us. He is speaking all the time. It's like his words are in this room, around you if you're watching at home right now. His word is there for the taking, if we just incline our ear to him, because he wants us to receive. So just for a few moments today, if you're at home, get your paper and pen. We've got some paper and pens here. If we could just give those out. I want us to wait on the Lord. And I want you to write down what comes into your mind. We're going to pray and just invite the Lord to give us a word for today. Might be relating to what we've read and what we've heard today, that he is that wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Or maybe just God wants to give us a fresh word today. Might lead you to a scripture. It might just be a word or a picture that he wants to put in your mind. But can we just wait on him for a moment now? If you're at home, get your paper, pen. We're just going to wait on the Lord. And then Danny and Mark and Sarah are going to just lead us in this wonderful song to finish. So let's just wait on the Lord. Let me just invite him to come. Holy Spirit, would you come? And as we wait on you now, we believe you've got words for us. might want to take the Bible in hand. You may just want to just open your mind to him and listen. Come, Holy Spirit, would you speak? Your servants are listening. Jesus. I love you, Lord.